The following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
Do you realize that the prophesied beast of Revelation is rising up right before our eyes? My friends, the great God has signaled us in advance about this mighty power. This prophesied beast will soon become, listen, the most powerful force on earth. Yes, it will. It's not some nebulous idea. It's going to happen. It will affect your life and everything around you. You need to understand. Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith warns the beast is rising. And now, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith.
My friends, they say there are three kinds of people in the world. When something really big is going on, here's how each group responds. People in the first group say, "What is happening?" At least they realize something is happening. People in the second group say, "Let's make things happen." They're the leaders. They're the doers. People in the third group don't even know that anything big is happening. To which group do you belong? Notice Jesus Christ's instruction in Luke 21. Christ tells us to watch. We need to understand that things are happening, and especially today. Turn to Luke 21 in your New Testament. Go get your Bible if you have one. Check up on me. We want you on this program to prove things, not just to believe whatever you happen to believe, but to prove things out of your own Bible. Luke chapter 21 and verse 36. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Watch these world events as they unfold, and you will understand then the purpose that's being worked out, what's going on, and how it fulfills the Bible and the Bible prophecies. In this program, I want to alert you to a truly enormous danger posed by the coming United States of Europe. For this awesome power, my friends, which is now forming, will not be a democratic friend of the United States and Canada. It may appear to be now, but as it develops, and you will see it, it's not in its present form, but it's going to change. It's going to be truly different. Do you older viewers remember seeing the film clips of Hitler's marching legions? Remember, they nearly conquered all of Europe. Only Britain held out until America entered the war and turned the tide. After World War II, America instituted the so-called Marshall Plan. A lot of you remember that. We poured billions of American dollars into rebuilding Western Europe. And this included, of course, our former enemies, Germany and Italy. Often these former enemies ended up receiving brand new equipment and factories, since their other factories were bombed, and they ended up better off than our chief ally, Great Britain. That was kind of an anomaly. People did remark on that, but it still happened. Our former enemies were built up very powerfully. Now these nations are getting together in a so-called, European Union, the United States of Europe, and they're increasingly challenging the United States in world trade and international diplomacy and other areas. Where is all this leading? Thousands of years ago, the Creator God who made us and who guides the rise and fall of nations, that great God prophesied of these end time events. Notice what God inspired Daniel to predict. And remember, Jesus Christ quoted from Daniel as scripture a number of times. This is inspired in your Bible, and Christ validated the book of Daniel directly by, of course, quoting from it and using it. Daniel chapter 2. Turn to that, if you would, with me in your own Bible. Daniel chapter 2, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 27. The king had had this great vision, King Nebuchadnezzar, and he couldn't understand it. He called for all of his magicians and prophets, and they couldn't explain. So Daniel answered when he was called before the king, and he said, "The secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king." No, the so-called, you know, astrologers and smart guys, they didn't understand, and they don't understand today either. This book is the revelation of what's going to happen. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Our time, my friends, just at the end of this age, he's taking us clear down to the end of the age, the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed are these. And he describes now this vision. He said in verse 31, you were watching, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you, and its form was awesome. The image's head was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze. So starting with the head, it got cheaper. But the very beginning was powerful. The great Babylonian empire was richer and greater and more unified than any empire that has ever come since that time, as a matter of fact. And the Bible shows that very clearly. Its legs, as you get on down, though, its feet were partly of iron and partly of clay. So this great image, of course, was picturing the kingdoms of this world, first with Babylon, the head of gold. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image. This great stone, which many of you realize pictures Jesus Christ, struck the image at the end, down on the feet of iron and clay, and broke them in pieces. And in verse 35, he says, that stone became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. So the kingdom of God is going to be set up in the latter days of this great composite beast coming right down from Babylon through the Medo-Persian Empire and the Greco-Macedonian Empire of Alexander the Great and down to the Roman Empire. He says, this is the dream. Now let's tell the interpretation before the king. You, O king, are a king of kings. You are the head of gold, he says a little later here. Verse 39, and after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours. And that, of course, was the Medo-Persian Empire. And then another, a third kingdom of bronze. That was the empire of Alexander the Great. And which shall rule over the whole earth. Yes, Alexander did briefly conquer the whole world, known world at that time, and sat down and died in a drunken orgy at only age 32 or 33. It was awful. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, inasmuch as much as the iron breaks in pieces and shatters all things. It was a big, powerful kingdom, but not rich. Didn't have the sophistication and the beauty and the artistry of the other kingdoms. And it, like iron, crushes everything. Whereas you saw the feet and toes coming on down to the very end of this fourth kingdom, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. Many different nations. Babylon was always basically one race, one nation, one people. They were together, total unity. The other kingdoms began to have different groups fighting each other. And yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. And as the toes of the feet, notice the very end of this fourth kingdom, were partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and fragile. So it was going to be very fragile in certain ways. Verse 44 here, and in the days of these kings, in the days of these 10 toes, these final kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom. That's going to be the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Christ is coming, my friends, as King of kings and Lord of lords, and he shall rule this earth. That's what it says back in Revelation 11 and verse 15 and many other places in your Bible. So he will come, of course, and set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. My friends, this describes humanity. This describes the great role, in a sense, of ongoing civilization, clear on down to the time Christ comes and sets up the kingdom, the government of God, on this earth. And so it describes the final kingdom of Rome with its various resurrections, the 10 toes, the final 10 kings that were going to come and lead you right up to Christ's coming. At this point, I invite you to write for a free copy of one of the most powerful and sobering booklets we have ever published, The Beast of Revelation. It's a shocking booklet. This booklet will give you historical and biblical proof as to the identity of this beast. You need this booklet. All of our literature is absolutely free. No charge, no follow-up. No one will call. So call the toll-free number on the screen or write us today. Request your free copy of this powerful booklet on the Beast of Revelation.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Now back to our topic, the Beast of Revelation. We were in Daniel chapter 2, verse 44 and 5, for those of you who've turned in late. Daniel chapter 2, God describing the great world-ruling kingdoms of this earth down to the end and concluding, of course, with Christ coming, when you understand. Notice Daniel 2, verse 44, and in the days of these kings, that is the 10 toes on this final beast, the Roman Empire, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it, the kingdom of God, shall stand forever. The fifth kingdom, as it is sometimes called, that is going to be the final world-ruling government. And this is certainly something to understand, to look forward to, and to be very grateful for. Now let's turn to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7, my friends, and notice in verse 1 now as we start out, another vision here. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a vision. This time Daniel himself had the vision, and the visions of his head while on his bed, and when he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts, he spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven were stirring up the great sea. So here a sea is often picturing actually the whole world. And the four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other. Now he describes these four great kingdoms with animal-like characteristics. But frankly, when you understand, they're the same great world-ruling kingdoms described back in Daniel 2. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings, very fast but very powerful like a lion. He says in verse 5, the second, like a bear. The Medo-Persian Empire was a little slower, but big and bulky, and like a bear, raised up on its side and had three ribs in its mouth. It had devoured three other nations. After this, I looked, and there was another like a leopard. Now, the leopard pictured the Greco-Macedonian, empire of Alexander the Great. Some of you remember reading in history how Alexander had this special type of training for his men and this special formation that caused him to move very, very fast. His army moved extremely fast, and so God pictures him like a leopard, which had on its back four wings. It was going very fast as a bird. The beast had four heads. As history shows, Alexander the Great's kingdoms, his kingdom was broken up into four different divisions after his death. His four leading generals divided up his empire. And God prophesied this, of course, hundreds of years in advance. Verse 7, after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, a dreadful, terrible, exceedingly strong, and it had three huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling all these other beasts, all the kingdoms of the earth, and it had 10 horns. And I was considering the horns, and there was another horn. So now he describes 10 horns were going to come out of this Roman Empire, and he describes the little horn that comes up among them. the ten horns were described, including, frankly, three little kingdoms that tried to revive the Roman Empire, the Vandals, the Heruli, and the Ostrogoths, plus seven great revivals that began with Justinian's revival. But among them comes up a little horn. And the little horn, a religious power, frankly, helped the others overthrow the Vandals, Heruli, and Ostrogoths, and it joined itself to the other seven revivals and sat on them, and as a matter of fact. The little one coming up among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. That's the little revivals, attempted revivals, by a group of people called the Vandals, then the Heruli, and then the Ostrogoths. And there, in this horn, were eyes like a man, and a mouth speaking pompous words, very arrogant, trying to change God's laws and times regarding God's ways. I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated, and his garment was white as snow. So he watched, and then finally, at the end of all this, of this little horn carrying on, Christ is there giving his judgment. Now we turn on over verse 17. These great beasts, which are four kings to rise out of the earth. So there were four different empires, as we've seen. The Babylonian, and then you find the Persian, and then the Alexandrian kingdom, and then the Roman Empire. Four great kings, and the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom, and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I wish to know the truth about the fourth beast. Daniel is concerned about this great, powerful fourth beast, which was the Roman Empire, which was different from all the others, devouring and so on, and about the ten horns on its head, and about the little horn, which came up before whom three fell. The little horn was able to have the others kind of pluck out or overthrow the Vandals, Heruli, and Ostrogoths, namely that horn which had eyes and a mouth. This is a system, a religious system, that developed right back then and spoke pompous words whose appearance was greater than his fellows. And I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints until the Ancient of Days came. Notice Revelation 13, and let's begin in verse 1. Turn to your New Testament. Check up on me. Get acquainted with this book that tells you your future. Revelation 13, verse 1. Then, John says, the inspired apostle that Jesus loved, then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and on its horns ten crowns, and on its heads a blasphemous name. Now, the beast which I saw was like a leopard. You see, this beast was not just the Empire of Alexander. This is one great beast having the different characteristics of all these other beasts. And his feet had the feet of a bear, so of course he had the swiftness of a leopard, the feet, the powerful paws of a bear, and his mouth was like the mouth of a lion, and that's one of the strongest things of a lion. So this final beast is exceedingly powerful. And the dragon, who's the dragon? You turn over to Revelation 12, verse 9, and it shows in that place God identifies the dragon as Satan the devil. Satan the devil. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority, this final beast, this final king over this system. And I saw one of his heads of this final beast, as it were, mortally wounded. This was, of course, the fall of the Roman Empire in 476 A.D. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. Yes, the deadly wound was healed by Justinian, the Emperor Justinian, the first of the revivals, in 554 A.D. That's a matter of history. So the world was marveling, and they followed the beast, and they worshiped the dragon. They ended up worshiping Satan the devil, God says. They didn't think they were worshiping Satan the devil, but they ended up doing that. Almighty God says in his word, by following this system. They worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast. They looked up to and obeyed this power no matter what, saying, who is like the beast and who's able to make war with him? That is how they worshiped him, just looking up to him like he was God and doing what he said in a certain amount of fear. So here is that beast, the revived Roman Empire. Now you turn to verse 11. Let's drop down to verse 11. I wish you could read all the verses, but here describes this little horn of Daniel 7 in a different way. Notice, then I saw another beast, the little horn of Daniel 7, coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. A lamb is like Jesus Christ, of course. Christ is the Lamb of God. So this man, this great false prophet rising up, will look like Christ. He'll look like a lamb. He'll come across as nice and, you know, sophisticated and gentle and very helpful and so on. But he spoke like a dragon. His message is the message of Satan the devil, the dragon, as described right in this book. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast. You notice he isn't the beast, this false prophet, but he exercises the authority of the Roman Empire. He exercises the authority and the power, and he causes them to do various things of the first beast in his presence, and causes the earth and those that dwell in it to worship this Roman Empire, this beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs, this final great false prophet. You will live to see things you have never envisioned before, my friends. This is real. This is going to be shocking when it begins to happen. And the whole world will sweep with a wave of euphoria and adulation, thinking the great man of God is here when this kind of thing comes along. You'd better understand ahead of time and learn to read this book and study this book and watch and pray so you know what's going on before it happens, because these specific things that I'm telling you are happening, and they're going to happen, and they're going to continue to happen. God says so, not me. This is what God says in your Bible. And so he performs great miracles, and he makes even fire come down from heaven. Would you believe a man if he brings fire down from heaven? Many of you would, but God says that alone is not the answer. Back in Isaiah 8, verse 20, God says if people come along with visions and dreams and so on, he said to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, there is no light in them. That's what God says. If they try to do away with God's commandments, with God's teaching, with God's way of life, and just have great pomp and ceremony and rituals and so on, he said there is no light in them. That's what God said. And so this man is going to come along in the lifetimes of most of you, performing great signs, and he makes fire come down. And he deceives, verse 14, those who dwell on the earth. Yes, most people will go right along with this. By those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, in the sight of the Roman Empire, stirring them up, making these people think they've jumped on the right horse, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. And he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Yes, they're going to have to take the mark of the beast, as it goes on to show. As you see this 10-nation beast come together in Europe, as you see this religio-political system begin to develop, please understand where it is leading. As you see the economic and the political power of this system grow, watch out. As you see the great religious power in Europe flex its muscles and have more and more influence and power, beware. And I'm telling you in advance, my friends, this is something you can see and you may get only on this program. The British nation will not be among the final 10 nations in this system. The British people, the Canadian people, will not be part of this. To really understand all of this in detail, you need to call now and request your free copy of our powerful booklet entitled The Beast of Revelation. This powerful booklet gives you biblical and historical proof on this subject to understand what lies just ahead in your life affecting Britain and America and Canada and our peoples. You need this booklet on the Beast of Revelation. This exciting booklet will be sent absolutely free upon your request. So call us or write us right now and request your copy of this booklet on the Beast of Revelation.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World Magazine. Tomorrow's World Magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
My friends, before closing, let us turn again to Revelation, this time Revelation 17 and verse 14. Turn to Revelation 17 and verse 14, and here we see what's going to happen to this power at the very end. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for He is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with Him are called, chosen, and faithful. Christ is going to crush this false prophet and this beast at the end. And He said to me, "The waters which you saw where the harlot sits, this coming harlot, woman that's going to be riding the beast, are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And the ten horns," notice this, "the ten horns, the final ten horns which you saw in the beast, the final ten kings, these will hate the harlot. They'll see that this false system did not bring them success. It did not bring them victory. It did not bring them happiness. And they'll turn on this false religious system. They'll hate it. Make her desolate and naked, and eat her flesh, and burn her with fire." That's what's going to happen. That's what lies ahead. Turn to Revelation 19 now, in verse 19. "And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse, and against his army. And the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet, who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast, and those who worshiped his image." These two, these men that are going to be worshiped in a few years from now, the military, political leader of this system called the beast himself, and the whole system's called the beast, king and kingdom are often used interchangeably in the Bible. So the beast will be taken himself, and this great religious leader, the false prophet, who deceived people, these two were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. The living Jesus Christ will conquer and absolutely destroy the beast in the end. Do you have the faith and the courage to stand up against this system as it grows in power? When Jesus Christ returns as King of Kings, whose side will you be on, my friends? Think about it ahead of time. Then you'll know more what to do. Again, call or write us immediately and request your free copy of The Beast of Revelation. And tune in every week to hear Richard Ames and I give you the real meaning behind today's news and the meaning and purpose for your very life. See you right here next week.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation, if you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579, or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. We invite you to visit our webpage at tomorrowsworld.org. Produced by the Living Church of God.